For 30 years, God has met every need. We're celebrating the goodness of God on us as a local church today at age 30. I want to read one verse of Scripture that stands out above all others and give three top principles that stand out above all others that have carried us and described the first 30 years of our church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 is so appropriate this morning. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." When we began 30 years ago and embarked on planting this church, if you had told me then how blessed we would be 30 years later, I could not have believed it. So the glory goes to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And then of all of the principles in Scripture, divine laws and principles that govern the universe, these are the top three. I see like a thread that connects every day and every year during these past 30 years. The top three principles. Number one, the undeniable favor of God that rests on His people. Number two, our ability to hear the voice of God clearly when He speaks. And the third one is the absolute certainty of God's faithfulness to meet our needs. He does it all the time. Now, these three principles have rested on the history of this church. And if you're connected to this church, and you would not be here today if you're not, then as we are able to corporately say, God does these things for us as a church, you should also be able to say individually, the undeniable favor of God rests on my life. You should own it. It rests on the church as a whole. You should claim your portion of it. The undeniable favor of God rests on my life. My ability to hear the voice of God clearly when He speaks is a real thing. Now let me elaborate on that just briefly. I'm not preaching a new doctrine, anything that you shouldn't already be familiar with. But if we belong to God, we hear His voice when He speaks. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. Won't follow a stranger's voice, they will follow my voice." And so if you are a believer, and especially if you're connected today to this church, corporately, we've had great ability to hear God speak when He opens His mouth and has something to say. I've preached all these 30 years. It's hard to miss God when He speaks. It's easy to hear from God. His sheep hear His voice. He's not had a stroke and is paralyzed. He still speaks a proceeding word today. And for 30 years as a church, we've been able to hear Him. And you as an individual should claim your right to hear God clearly when He speaks to you. And then you should individually be able to say, I'm absolutely certain of God's faithfulness to me. He has met every need. Those are three principles I've seen at work during these past 30 years. Let me share briefly the highlights of our 30-year history. 30 years ago, I was 29 years old. Brenda and I were living in the Los Angeles area of Southern California. We were there because of our connection with Laverne and Edith Tripp and their evangelistic association. And they were there because of their involvement in Christian television, which covered the world through Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. We spent a year there, and after 12 years total of working with them and loving the Trips, and they are our dearest friends, we are not friends. We are almost like family. We know them very well and still to this day love them. We never stopped loving them after working with them for 12 years and traveling the world with them. But at the end of 12 years with them, Brenda and I sensed that a change was coming for us. We began to seek the Lord, we felt like we were released from that assignment, which had been 12 years in our life, but didn't know what was next. And as we were seeking the Lord, Brenda was reading her Living Bible one night in the spring of 1986. And I was reading my Bible quietly, and she said, "Darling, I've got a word for you." And I love it when she says that to me. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm back on track now. And she read the Living Bible, a verse out of Ezekiel that said, "One day late in June, when I was 30 years old, suddenly the heavens were opened unto me and I saw visions from God." When she read that to me, I knew God was speaking something, because when she read that to me, I was 29 years and 11 months old. I would turn 30 on June the 24th in just a few weeks. It was a right now word, a rhema word, an in-season word for me. So as the Lord began to speak, we realized He was calling us to Florence, the city where I was born and the city of which I said I will never live there again. We were living in California for the last few weeks, but the heart that beat inside my chest was the heart of a pastor in the city of Florence. And so we told Laverne and Edith we felt the call of God on our lives to come to Florence and start a church. We knew the name of the church would be Abundant Life Church. God had spoken so much in detail to us even before we left California. We drove to Florence and did what we had to do. Found the house to rent and unload the truck that we had brought our furniture across country. And got a job and went to work to make a living. There was no congregation here asking us to come. No salary promised. Nobody begging us to come here for this. It was just hearing from God. And we got here, and the first day we were here, I began driving through the city looking for a building for our first church service. And I saw this particular building. It had a for sale sign in front of it. It was the former Church of the Nazarene. This property had been empty for about 2 years. They had built a new church and relocated. They were trying to sell this old building on the corner of Carolina and Gregg Avenue here in Florence. I rode by that building. That was the first building I looked at. And I thought to myself, what a blessing it would be if we could have our first church service in that building. But there was that sign that said for sale, and it intimidated me because we did not have any money. We did not have a congregation. I didn't even have a job with a salary. There was no way we could buy a property. And so I just let that thought lie for a while, a few weeks. I kept thinking, but never acted on it until one day, a month after we were here, there was an urgency to call that number and inquire about it. I couldn't get to the phone fast enough. I dialed the number. The pastor of the Nazarene church that had been relocated answered the phone, and I told him who I was and called him to see if he would rent the church. And I said, "Now, I know the church is for sale. We can't buy it, but we're starting a brand new church, and we would like to rent it with the understanding that it is for sale, and when you sell it, we'll be out in 30 days. And this pastor said to me, "Mr. Morris, for the past 2 years, we've had 30 different people call to rent that building, and we've said no to everyone. We've said it's not for rent, it's for sale. But he said, it's a funny thing you're calling me today. Because yesterday, our insurance agent who carries coverage on that property said, if we don't get a tenant in there, they're canceling their coverage. He said, Mr. Marsh, you'd be doing us a favor if you rent that from us. The undeniable favor of God. The ability to hear the voice of God clearly. And the absolute certainty of God's faithfulness. So we had our first service there on Sunday, September the 7th, 1986. Just coincidentally, that was the very last church service my mother would ever attend before going home to be with the Lord. That has been a special memory to me down through these past 30 years. And at the end of our first Sunday church service, September 7, 1986, it was such a full day, an exciting day, a busy day. About 10 o'clock that night, I looked over to Brenda and said, oh, by the way, happy 10th anniversary. We had our very first church service on the very day Brenda and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary. We stayed in that church and grew for 6 months. And after 6 months of being there, the property sold. And we were on a search again for another building. We knew we had 30 days to find another location. And nothing turned up. I scoured the streets. I looked at buildings that were available. Nothing seemed to fit. We were down to within 1 week of being out on the street. And the pressure was on. I was riding around town still looking for a building that might be suitable for a church. And I felt the Lord speak to me. Son, I don't need to build a building for you. It's already built. All I need to do is reveal to you where it is. And when I heard that, I called Brenda and I said, the Lord don't have to build it. It's already built. We just need to know where. And I asked her, get in the Yellow Pages. Go down Realtors. Call them everyone and simply ask, do you have a building that would be suitable for church services? She got on the phone and made one call. The very first one. Alpha Omega Realty. And when I called her back, she said, I have an appointment set up for you at 3 o'clock this afternoon with Mr. Jimmy Rainwater. He's the president of Alpha Omega. The first one I called, and he said he thinks he has a building that would be suitable. So I met with Jimmy Rainwater in his office. I met him for the first time that day, 3 o'clock, and he said, get in the car. I'll take you to a building that may be suitable for you. And he drove me to this building right here. It's no longer standing. In fact, that's an empty corner now. It was on the corner of Coit and Chevis Street downtown. We walked into that building, and it was old and dilapidated, a two-story building, and plenty of offices and classroom space. And I saw where, even though it did not look modernized at all, I saw we can work with this. We can grow here. And so I said, Mr. Rainwater, we may be interested. How much rent is it? And when I asked him that, he took a key off of his keychain and he handed it to me. He said, it won't cost you a dime. Use it for as long as you want to. It is free for the glory of God. The undeniable favor of God, the absolute certainty of God's faithfulness to meet every need we've had over these past 30 years. Then we were there a few months and grew to the point to where we had outgrown that building and we had a decision to make. Do we move again to a bigger place to accommodate our growing church? Or, I mean, it's free. Why would we want to leave? Then we thought, well, we could knock down that wall and knock down this wall and put new carpet and new ceiling and new paint on the walls. I mean, we could make it twice as big as it is in the auditorium, and it's free. And it would cost a little money to do that, and we're not sure if they would let us. So we were praying about what to do, whether to spend a little money and fix it up and enlarge it and stay a while longer, or move again. And the word of the Lord spoke to us. Remember, one of the three principles, our ability to hear the voice of God clearly when He speaks. If you don't believe you can, you should change your mind. Are you a sheep of His? Then you should hear His voice. Own it. Work with it. It's been a true principle for 30 years for us as a church. And the Lord spoke to us when we had that decision to make out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 12. Jesus said this, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" When we heard that from heaven, we knew God was saying, spend a little money, knock down these walls. Mr. Rainwater gave us his permission to do anything we wanted to. We wound up staying there for 2.5 years until we absolutely outgrew it and could not grow anymore. And we went in search then of our third property when our church was only 3 years old. And the Lord led us to House Springs Road, where we spent many years. In fact, we were there until we built and moved here. While we were on House Springs Road, we enlarged the one building that was on those 4 acres and built two more buildings there. And then things began to happen more quickly in the Spirit for us. I had gone off on a mission trip, and when I got back from the mission trip, Brenda picked me up at the airport, and she had a tape queued up to a specific part. And she said, "Darling, while you were gone, Bill Godwin was a guest speaker at the church, and he got up in the pulpit and prophesied this." And she pressed play. And Billy Godwin said, "While we were down here on House Springs Road many years ago, in the middle of his sermon, he just stopped and said, 'I think I have a word for this church.'" And we were in our smaller days back then. He said, "God's going to bless this church financially." And he said, "I don't mean a little bit." He said, "It's like a stream of water. It's like a flood of finances being poured out on this church. It will come from somewhere you don't even know where it came from. God don't want to just bless you a little bit. God is going to pour out financial blessings on this church." Well, I'm listening to it, and I thought, well, that's cute. I like the sound of that. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm all right with it if it does. I mean, that was the category I put that in. I've learned, though, not to despise a prophecy, but to go to war with it. A few months after that, we had big plans down there on House Springs. We were going to build one more building around Sanctuary that seats 500 people, and then we were going to pave the rest of the 4 acres. We wouldn't even need a lawnmower, just a weed eater. And 4 acres, we were going to stay down there forever, build one more building and stay down there forever. It was good down there. And Bishop Miles came down there to preach for me one Sunday morning. My pastor and our bishop, Houston Miles, pastors the great church in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Evangel Cathedral. And he knew we were planning to build another building down there and stay there for life. And after he preached on a Sunday morning, driving out of the parking lot in my car, Bishop Miles said, "Well, Carl, I know you're planning to build another building and stay here, but before you build any more here, have you thought about maybe getting a piece of property in a better location?" I said, "Well, no, sir, really, we haven't. We're already here. It's easier to do it here. It's cheaper to do it here. It's quicker to do it here. We haven't thought about another location." And he said, "When an oil company plans to build a gas station, they get the best location. And if it's important for a gas station to be in a good location, it's important for a church, don't you think?" And I said, "Well, yeah, probably so." So the bishop, the godly man of great authority that he is, how gentle and sweet was that? But that was all he needed to say. And we took it seriously. Thought, well, let's at least see what other properties would be. And we began looking. We knew we'd want to be on Irby Street if we moved. We'd want to stay on the south side of town. And And so we began looking at property and couldn't find any that was suitable until we got down to a piece of property a mile from here or less on the right as you're going into the city. It was 21 acres and owned by two different groups. The one that had 19 acres for sale, I called the sign and said, I'm calling about that property for sale. And he said, well, it's 19 acres and it's cheap. I said, oh, good so far. He said, but the problem is we have no frontage. You would have a right-of-way to drive back, and then the 19 acres begins, but nothing on the front. I said, well, then we wouldn't be interested in the back 19 acres if we can't get the front too. And he said, well, we used to own those two front acres also, but we sold it about 3 years ago to an oil company that said they were planning to build a gas station. And I said, oh, really? Well, they haven't. He said, no, they've not developed it yet, but that was their purpose for buying it. And he said it was Jordan Oil Company. They own a lot of properties up and down the east coast of the United States. And he said, all I know about them is their headquarters office is in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So I said, well, thank you. We'll consider that. I picked up the phone and called Bishop Miles. And I said, Bishop, you remember when you were here and you told us about an oil company building a gas station? And I brought him up to date, told him about the 19 back acres, but the two front acres were owned by Jordan Oil Company. And I said, you know, if we could get the two front, we'd be interested in the back 19. And I said, I'm calling, Bishop, just to see if by chance, I know Jordan Oil Company is headquartered in Spartanburg, and I'm just calling to see if the president of Jordan Oil Company is a member of your church. And he said, Carl, he's one of my most faithful members. His name is Dan Durbin. Do you want me to talk to him to see if he would sell the church there, those two front acres? I said, I would appreciate that. Mr. Durbin called me the next day and said, Bishop Miles has asked us to sell you those acres. We will. So we bought the front two and the back 19 and put the deal together and then put a sign up on the property down there, Future Site Abundant Life Church, and we thought that was great. We would have been so happy with that. We financed the 21 acres for 5 years. Our plan to build was 5 years away. We were going to do the best we could to pay for land for 5 years before we built. But within 2 or 3 months of our buying that land and really just financing it and putting a sign out, Future Site Abundant Life Church, Walmart demanded that we sell that land to them. And when they first contacted me, I said, well, thank you for, you know, your interest in our property, but, you know, our plans are to build a church one day, many years from now maybe, but one day. We're going to build a nice church there on that day. But then when Walmart told me how much they would pay this church for that land, I said, okay. The prophecy Billy Godwin had given, God is going to bless this church with financial blessings, like a flood of finances, he said. The bottom line of that is we became known around town is the church Walmart blessed. We were able to pay off everything and still have about $1 million. I mean, that was unheard of for a struggling church. God had so blessed us and kept his promise to us. So that changed everything. We sold Walmart that property and we bought this property and started building immediately. Immediately. So God's faithfulness was proven again. He's never failed us. We were moved from obscurity where we had been and had planned to stay to high visibility on the main street here in Florence. And this is our permanent location. Now, before we decided to build this, you know, I believe the Bible says sit down and count the cost before you build a building, lest you start it and not able to finish it. And so I struggled with that because You know, even with the blessing Walmart had been to us, we still needed to borrow over $1 million to buy these 12 acres and to build these buildings and furnish it. And I thought, oh, the payments. Oh, my God, the payments. And we were debt-free, and that felt so good. But we would have payments, huge payments. And I struggled with that. And the people who were building this building for us, not only the engineers, the contractors, the architects, and the subcontractors, but part of that was a church building consultant. And I met with him, and I said, I'm struggling with the payments. I mean, we have no payments now. We're going to build that nice building. I'm not sure we'll be able to make those huge payments every month. And he said, the new people that God will send to your church after you're in this new building in this great location will make the payments for you. And within 6 months, he was right. We were so blessed with growth. Many of you came into the church during that time and have been a part of all that God has done during these past 30 years. So we had our very first service in this beautiful new building, our permanent location, on Christmas Eve, December the 24th in the year 2000. We've been in this building already now about 16 years. And God has blessed us. Every year has been a great one. We've had no bad years. The blessing of God, the bounty of God, His goodness on us has been tangible, obvious, irrefutable, undeniable. I'm sold on God. Not interested in another one. He's been good to us. And then after all of the material things were in place, still God had more for us. And there's this verse in the Bible we all know so well, where there is no vision, the people perish. So vision is so important for the people of God. We die without it. I like one translation Frank Harvey gives of that verse. He says it like this: where there is no progressive, ongoing revelation of the will of God, people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. And so we began pressing in, God, what do you have for our church? What assignment have you birthed this great church for? And soon I made one trip that would change my life and the vision of our church forever. Communism had just ended. The Iron Curtain had fallen. The Soviet Union, which Ronald Reagan called the evil empire, was now free for the gospel. And they were begging people from America to come over and preach the gospel. I got in on one of the early trips there. They assigned me a city. I had never heard of the nation Latvia. I had never heard of the city Liepāja. But the people who were putting everything together assigned that city to me and asked me if I would come and preach a five-day crusade there in a former communist nation that was hungry for the gospel. And I agreed to do it. I went over, and in 5 days saw God do so many wonderful things. I saw so many people born again, hungry for the gospel, in desperate conditions, having suffered under communism, and now they were free and somewhat scared to ask questions about God, but still were hungry. After 5 days and the crusade was over, I saw so many great things. I got on the plane to fly back home, and I realized that I'd left my heart there. And before I had ever gone that city, all I knew was it had 120,000 people in it, the city of Liepāja, Latvia, on the coast of the Baltic Sea. And 120,000 people. I'd never heard of the city. When I got over there, I realized even though they were poor and they didn't have flashy jewelry, they would wear a wedding band at least. But instead of wearing it on their left hand like we do, they would wear their wedding band on their right hand. All the married people wore their wedding band on their right hand instead of their left. And on that plane flying back, realizing God's not finished with me in that city yet, realizing I'd seen so many people born again that had heard the gospel for the first time, And they were saved now, but there was no church and no pastor there. And so I said, well, Lord, you need to speak to me. Believe me, one principle is our ability to hear the voice of God clearly when He speaks. I opened up my Bible on the plane to the book of Jonah. All I knew is Jonah is the story of God calling a man to a city. And I read the four chapters of Jonah. And the very last verse in the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, reads like this. God said to Jonah, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left?" And when I read that, I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing. If you want me to go back again, I'll go. And it was during this time that God expanded the vision of this church. No longer were we all about ourselves. No longer was everything about us and our services inside these four walls. No longer were we the focus, but we had come of age now, and God had equipped us and matured us and was giving us a part of the Great Commission: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We realized during those days that if the vision of the local church is not big enough to include the whole world, then the vision is too small. And 4 months later, my family and I moved to the city of Liepāja, Latvia, with a one-year commitment. We didn't resign as pastors here, but our associate pastor, Mitch Horton, at the time, pastored this church in our absence. And while we were on the other side of the world for an entire year, the church grew and the church was blessed here at home. While we over there started a church, and every week hundreds would come. 500, 600, 700, 800 people come out to hear the gospel. The very first service we had over there, we had over 300 adults plus their children, including the mayor of the city. And I asked, when I held my Bible up in a rented auditorium over there on a Sunday, how many have ever seen a copy of the Bible? Out of 300 adults, only 5 raised their hands. It was a wonderful year. I realized what I was teaching them was the first time they had ever heard the truth. God blessed us that year. We saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved. At the end of the year, I turned the church over to Vilnis Smagas, who was called a pastor. He's a Latvian national, and he had been in our church for the last 6 months. It was obvious at the end of our year that was God's man to carry the church on. That was the year 1993. I still go back and preach in that church. Vilnis is still the pastor. They own their own building there too, and it's debt-free and paid for in a nation that's not as prosperous as we are. God has been good to us. Our vision was enlarged to include the world. We began planting churches internationally in other nations, not only in Liepāja, but also in Managua, sending Brian and Millie Hudson down to found that church. And now they have planted many churches and have 4 they're starting this year in the nation of Nicaragua. We started hosting pastors' conferences and leadership conferences in other nations, not only here in the States, but especially in Nicaragua, in Russia, and even in Vietnam, where 300 underground pastors came together for 3 days of training and equipping for the underground persecuted church, in many cases persecuted. Another highlight over these 30 years is I'd always had it in my heart to have a Bible college in the church. And so, well, I'm not qualified. I could never be president of a Bible college. But I really have it in my heart to train men and women who want to study in depth the Word of God, and many who would go out in preaching pastor ministries. And so the Lord allowed that to happen through Christian Life School of Theology, where we opened up a campus here. And I thought, well, if 5 or 6 people show up it'll be great. And we had about 70 pastors from an hour around, most of them pastors, that would come in for 10 hours a month for Christian Life School of Theology training. Many of them earned their theology doctorate degree right here at this church. And when that happened, there was a shift in the church. No longer were we just a pastoral church, a local church, but we became an apostolic center. We became a church where men and women would come in for a while, get what they needed, refreshing, renewing, equipping, and then go out into ministry. And many have done that during these past 30 years. Just some of the people who used to be with us and some serving in positions of leadership here in the church that have left us and gone on to pastor their own churches. And in many cases, we helped them start their churches. They are sister churches to us. One is Mitch Horton, who was our associate here for 3 years. Now he pastors Victory Church in Raleigh. They will have about 1,000 people attending their service this morning in Raleigh. That's Mitch's life's work. Pastor Virginia McDaniel of Hope Christian Center in Darlington. Pastor B.J. Wiley, who used to be our youth pastor here, now pastors Oasis Christian Center in Barboursville, West Virginia. Markwell Jackson, one of my black sons, was with us for many years, and we blessed him and ordained him and released him and went over and set him in as pastor of another great church here in Florence, the historic Mount Sinai Church in North Florence. What a blessing it was to do that. Jay Kennedy, who used to be here as an associate pastor, now he is pastor of Trinity Church in Columbia, South Carolina. Albert Grice, who was a faithful man here, now serves as pastor of Liberty Christian Fellowship in Marion. And then others who were not in the church, but we've helped them plant churches, like Rob Tripp at the Fireplace Fellowship in Nashville, and Tim Blevins at the Life Church in Wilmington. By the way, if you go to Wilmington, go to the big mall. While you're shopping, you'll see Life Church. It's the church at the mall in Wilmington, North Carolina. Those are just a few, in addition to Vilnius Smogus in Latvia and Brian Hudson in Nicaragua. And God has been so faithful to you always. Now look, hundreds of you. And always, all these 30 years, I've been able to look out at the congregation and see other pastors sitting out there. And I used to say, God, what in the heck? Some of them might say, what are you doing here? And they'd say, I have no idea. I'm just obeying God. And even to this day, I look around. I won't begin to call names because I can't see all of you, but many, many men and women in this church right now have been used greatly by God in ministry and especially in pastoring, many of you for years, more than one church. The Lord has you here for a season. We've always been the kind of church that's large enough in our vision for God to be able to send us His best. And they can stay with us for a season and be a blessing here. And then we celebrate when God opens a new season for them elsewhere. We help them get there and obey the call of God on their life. I want to say to you in closing, Abundant Life Church is one of the great churches in America, and I'm honored to be a part of you. It's not great because of me. It's great because of the people that make up the church. Let me say a few things about you before we close. We are a non-legalistic church. We don't really preach a whole lot against sin. We figure you know what you're doing, if it's wrong or not. We are a hospital. We're not a courtroom. We don't judge anybody. If you're deserving of judgment, judge your own self. And even if you are deserving of judgment, we prefer mercy. Mercy rejoices over judgment. And we say if you're guilty of anything, you're still welcome to come in here. How can it hurt? Come in here, worship God with us, and hear the truth of God's Word. It's got to help you, no matter how bad off you are. So we're non-legalistic. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, There is liberty, not legalism. And then I appreciate the diversity in this church. We have whites, we have blacks, we have reds. Some of you are Indian and proud of it. We have yellow. We have every race in this church. And I'm grateful for that. I remember back in the early days, 30 years ago, when we were just beginning our church, mostly white. And this one visitor came in. He was a white man and a businessman. And I knew him. He visited for one day. And after service, I shook his hand and I said, "Well, I'm glad you were here today. I hope you'll come back." And he said, "Well, I enjoyed it all right, but I have a problem worshiping with black people." And I didn't even think about it. I opened my mouth and said, "Well, you're in the wrong church." Just like that, it just came out. Let me tell you. The last thing I'd want to be is a pastor of an all-white church. My God, thank God for the whites and the blacks and the reds and the yellows. And every color is precious in His sight. From day one, we have always said God is colorblind, and so are we. I love the diversity we have in this church. Not everybody in this church is Republican. Not everybody in this church is Democrat. But the people in this church, all of us put together, transcend social and economic and educational boundaries. We transcend them all. And none of us are threatened because others are different than we are. Because all of us know above everything else that the one thing we have in common is the Lordship of Jesus. And that's why we celebrate. And while I love the diversity we have, I'm grateful for the unity. Our church has been blessed with a strong sense of unity. No division, nobody pulling in separate directions, everybody understanding we're on the same team. We're all winning here. And we're working together in common unity, community, and communion with the Lord and with one another. I want to say, and I'm a praise and worship team. Y'all might need to come up here and help me get out of this. Because, you know, I could stay another hour or so. But if the team will come up, the band and singers, and just help me close this service, I'm going to have to just run away. That's what I'm going to have to just stop and run. But I do want to say we have a great team in this church. We have a great pastor's staff. And we have an army of volunteers. And this church is not a great church after 30 years because of me. It is a great church in spite of me. But the people in this church who serve at any level have made it great. Not only our church staff, our praise team, our singers, our band. And don't they do a great job leading us into the presence of God always? But if you're here and do anything at all in the church, whether you're a greeter at the front door or an elder, or whether you serve on our usher and our security team, take care of our babies and our two nurseries, which, by the way, you saw all the babies. We got a nursery. We got two. One's not enough. We have two nurseries. Or if you help minister to our children in kids' church or our youth with our teen ministry. If you're a barista giving away free coffee in the lobby and doing such a great job, or our sound techs, our media staff, our custodial caregiver, our groundskeeper who keeps the yards looking so good. If you're a prayer warrior, one of our intercessors. If you are simply a faithful attender and supporter with your tithe and offering, I want to say thank you from all of heaven today for being faithful to your part. Thank you for making these 30 years great and for making Abundant Life one of the great churches in our nation. There are two or three people, and I wish I could call every name, but just two or three. First of all, I would not be here. I may not even be alive if it were not for Brenda. She has been the greatest wife I could ever ask for. How many other wives would encourage their husband? Darling, you left your heart on the other side of the world. We're probably going to have to move there. Us with two small children at the time, moving to the other side of the world for a year, and my wife was the one with joy to help us pack for that. It was the hardest year of her life. Most exciting, but it was harder on a woman than it was a man to live there for a year. She's been with me everywhere, supported me in everything I've ever felt God calling us to do. I don't want to put her on too high of a pedestal, and I'm saying this in jest, perhaps slightly, but if it were not for her, I wouldn't even try. I would have given up. God knew I needed you, and I love you. 40 years. Ladies and gentlemen, my first wife. My first wife. And the love of my life. And then I have to give honor to a man I call the man with the greatest pastor's heart I've ever known. Steve and Lori Osborne were sent here 20 years ago, and he worked with the city of Florence for the first few years. And then 15 years ago, in 2001, he came on staff full time as my associate. Now he's our executive pastor. He really takes care of almost everything and does an incredible job. He and Lori have been such blessings to this church. I think you know some. Perhaps I know even more about what great blessings they have been to me and to all of us. But Pastor Steve and Lori, you are in the perfect will of God where you are. Isn't it wonderful to be exactly where God birthed you to be? And you make such a difference, not only here in our church family, but in all of our world missions endeavors and connections around the world. Just imagine each of you, not only you, Steve, but each of you, getting to heaven one day and seeing people with different faces, people you don't know, you never met, but somehow they know you and say, thank you for what you did. I'm here because of your gift. I'm here because you sent somebody. I'm here because you held the fort down so others could go. That's going to be great. But Steve and Lori Osborne are among the greatest people, great marriage, great parents, raised three wonderful kids, and now beginning another generation with Griffin, their first grandson. Pastor Steve, stand if you will. Don't you love Steve and Lori Osborne? I think I could also say it about him. If it wasn't Steve, I wouldn't even try. I mean, God's grace is on him. It makes even the difficult things he does look easy. I mean, he's just so anointed and such a blessing to us. And I honor you especially today. Every one of you who've attended, every one of you who prayed for us, every one of you who've given in the offerings so that we could accomplish everything God has assigned for us. Thank you. Today on our 30th anniversary service, I want you to know how much I appreciate you and how important every one of you is. I should also take a minute to honor the memory of the many men and women who used to sit out there with us. But over 30 years, so many have been called to heaven. I won't even begin calling names. But some of you have lost a mother or a father that sat near you here. Now they're in heaven. Some of you have lost a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter. or another family member, and in every passing we've all lost, dear friends, we would have an entire section of our church filled with faithful men and women who have been here over these 30 years but have already gone on to heaven, and now they're a part of the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, praying for us, and pulling us in their direction. Many of you may know some I'm talking about. They used to sit next to you or in front of you or behind you or across from you. Today is a day to thank God for their service too and remember their faithfulness and be inspired by it. Now, we're 30 years old as a church and still we're a young church. We are moving forward. While we're grateful for everything God has done, we are even more excited now at age 30 of all that He's yet to do. Our best days are still ahead. God saves His best wine for last. And I don't know where our marching orders may take us in the future, but we can be sure of this. God will always place more than enough in our hands to do everything He ever asks us to do anywhere in the world He calls us. You should know that about your own life. If you're connected to this church, then you should know about your own life individually. God will always place more than enough in my hands to do everything He would ask me to do. You can own it. You are blessed by Him that much. And I have a challenge to give you. We're 30 years old. And while we're celebrating, and today's been just that, justifiably, giving God praise for all that He has done, we need a challenge. So let me challenge you. If you're a member of this church, a friend of this church, connected to this church in any way, at any level, my challenge to you is this. As we turn 30, pray for this church. Don't you pray for your children, parents? Don't you pray for your siblings and your parents and your friends? Don't you pray for those you love? Then let me challenge you. Let's shift gears at age 30. And every one of you, pray for this church. Pray for me. I'll take it. I'll ask for it. Pray for me. And then as you pray, and the Lord brings different people. It may be the person who worships down the row from you or in front of you or beside you or across the sanctuary. But let the Lord speak to you about who He wants you to engage in prayer cover for. Let's step it up in prayer for the church. Can we do that at age 30? Will you do that? Everybody stand if you will. It's appropriate that we give God every praise today. Just before our praise team leads us in every praise, I'd like to ask you to, as a congregation, pray out loud with me this confession we find in Ephesians 3:20 and verse 21. We'll put it on the big screen. Would you say this out loud? Now, you're only going to do it one time, so say it as a declaration. Say it like you believe it out loud. Here we go. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Thank God for 30 years and more.